You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam. This is The Conversation. I am honored and overjoyed that you are tuning in. If you've been with me for a while, if you've listened in the past, you might notice there is a new feel. We got a new look, a new sound. Episodes are going to be right around 28 minutes. Our goal is quality over quantity. But why all these changes? Because we got some exciting news to share. We have a brand new partner. For the last 2 years, I've been a part of the Converge Podcast Network, and that is not changing. I absolutely love Converge, but our brand new partner is Faith Radio. Faith Radio is a Christian radio station that I've been friends with for the last 10 years. I've been on many times doing interviews. For a while, I shared a devotional there on a weekly basis. But Faith Radio is huge. It has radio stations across South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, even out in Connecticut. And so every single week, the conversation's going to be available where all podcasts are available, Spotify, iTunes. But also, in addition to that, each and every episode is going to be broadcast in and through Faith Radio, and to say I am excited is an understatement. And so if you are joining me and you've been with me in the past, welcome back. But if you are new and you're right now, you're in your car and you're wondering who in the world is on the radio station, I just want to quickly introduce myself. My name is Adam. I pastor a church called Embrace here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm an author. I still can't believe I wrote a book. I struggled to write a paper in high school in English classes, but I've got a couple of books out. More important than that, I am a husband of 16 years. I am a father with 4 kids under the age of 14, if you would pray for me. I also like old stuff, old cars, old radios, old fountain pens. I cheer for the Cincinnati Bengals, which is just a sad situation, so if you would pray for me. But I am honored to meet you and cross paths with you for the very first time, and I'm so excited about what God has in store in and through this conversations and the future episodes. I could talk forever. I want to introduce you to my very first guest in this new partnership. My very first guest is the great Lisa Bevere. Lisa is a preacher. She's a teacher. She's an author. More than that, she is an amazing, amazing woman of God. I was able to sit down with her a couple of weeks ago and grab lunch with her. I'm still smiling from our time together. You are going to be encouraged in so many different ways. In our episode, we talk about her brand new book called Godmothers, which is a book all about the importance of having spiritual mentors in our lives, people who are further on the journey of following Jesus. We need these people, and we also need to be these people to others around us. And so we talk about the importance of mentors. We also talk about comparison and how comparison steals our joy and how to overcome comparison. We also talk about distractions. And so again, I know you are going to be deeply encouraged. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, I am so excited to cross paths again with someone that I have grown to dearly love. Lisa, welcome to the podcast today. Huge honor that you'd sit down with me for a second time.
Oh, you know, I think it's fun. I wouldn't be doing this second time if I didn't love the first time so much.
Typically, I jump into a person's story. If anybody missed the first time with Lisa, go and listen to that. My cheeks still hurt from smiling hearing your story. But I want to jump in, and this is very selfishly want to jump into your new book, Godmothers. I'm going to just confess. I don't know if as a dude I need to confess. So like this book like is single-handedly directed at women, and I read it start to finish. Like I literally, it wasn't like a skim job. I'm talking like I read every single word, including like the thank yous in the back of the book. As I jumped in, my wife kept saying, "Why are you reading that book?" I'm like, "I've never read a Lisa Bevere book." And she's like, "But I'm pretty positive that's like directly at women." And I'm like, "I've just never."
Listen, I feel like guys need a godmother. It's just kind of that thing where my husband actually told me, "Why do you write to women?" I said, "Because women are who buy my books. Guys don't buy my books. And my publisher just said, don't write books neutral, write them to the women. So I do feel like the principles cost, but I am humbled and I am honored. My own husband hasn't read my book. My sons haven't read my book. I don't even know if my daughter-in-laws have. So thank you. Thank you for reading it.
Well, technically I think they sent it to me. So I didn't purchase it myself, but I did read it. But if you want to jump into your heart behind, like, what is your hope for the book? And then I have several specific things I'm going to jump into, but share that first off.
First and foremost, I just got to say, Adam, you're one of my favorite people to talk to, but we all were talking ahead of time that we all have gaps in our lives. And a gap is the difference between the way things are and the way things should be. And we're actually, so there's some God gaps. I mean, my husband can't be Jesus to me. So there's God gaps. But there are gaps that God actually wants us to connect with other people to meet. You were talking about some of these men that have been just God-breathed help in your life. Well, God told the older women and the younger women to have this connection. And when I got saved, you already know I look like a heathen when I got saved. It may still look like that. But I walked into the church and I thought, Adam, I'm telling you the truth. I thought all the older women had been praying, calling my name before the throne room, crying out for my salvation. I thought when I walked in, they're going to be like, she's here. She's saved. Look at her. She's beautiful. But nope, that's not what they did. They were like, wait a minute. Is she wearing a bra? Does she have double pierced ears? I don't think she's wearing pantyhose. They saw me, but they weren't watching for me. They were criticizing me. They were judging me. And I remember at the most painful moment, I wasn't married to John yet. Most painful moment, God told me, I've called you to minister to women. And I was like, anybody but women. I don't like women. I am not really a woman. I have a man's brain, a woman's body. Men, women don't say what they mean. They don't mean what they say. I like guys better. I am not a woman. And God didn't go, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. I have the wrong apartment. He said nothing. And so I just thought, okay, I'm going to put a little deal on this. If you want me to minister to women, you need to send me a mentor. And he didn't say done. He said nothing. I've noticed that God will just say, this is what I've called you to do. You can throw all your fits. You can say, these are my requirements. He just ignores them. And so 8 years later, I'm now married. I'm pregnant with my third son. John is doing a Pentecostal holiness meeting, which back then, listen, if your meeting was over before 11, like the Holy Spirit had not shown up. So we had driven all day with two kids and a pregnant wife. By the time I arrived in Rockingham, North Carolina, I don't even feel saved. So John was like, you stay behind tonight. So I put the kids to bed. It was a filthy, dirty motel, not a hotel, motel room. Cause we stayed in people's houses. We did all that fun stuff. And I loved it. I'm glad we did all that. And I put the boys to bed. John had me lock the door cause it was a sketch neighborhood. And he knocked on the door. I opened it around midnight or so. And he announced to me that I was doing a women's meeting the next morning. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. I had one little message. He had preached it that night. So now I had no message. I told him they're not going to even let me in. Like, it's Pentecostal holiness. These women can't even wear pants. I cannot come in the building with double pierced ears. Like, what is going on? And so I'm so mad at my husband. I try to keep him awake for hours. He falls asleep. He's snoring. The kids are asleep. I'm watching the digital clock. I'm pregnant. I'm mad. He wakes me up the next morning and takes the kids to like Waffle House or something. And I'm on my knees and I'm like, God, I can't believe this. You know, I don't like women. And I hear him say, I do. I do. He said, I created woman as the answer to the very first problem. And that is that it is not good for man to be alone. He said, women are answers to be embraced rather than problems to be controlled. And then I saw, and you know, and I wish I could say this happens every week. It doesn't. But I saw this chain coming down and it was jewelry, like not chain link fence, jewelry. And then I saw an open space and then I saw a suspended link. And God said, there has been a breakdown from one generation to the other. And he said, but I don't want a mentoring of pride. I want a mentoring of brokenness. He said, I want mothers. And he said, mothers want more for their children than they ever experienced themselves. And I said, well, you never sent me someone. You never sent me someone. And he said, everything you wish another woman would have been to you these last 8 years, you begin to be. And I was like, it's a joke. And he said, you be that woman. So I sat in that hotel room and I wrote it backwards. How she would look at me, how she would talk to me, how she would instruct me, how she would help me laugh at my future, even though I was crying in the moment, how she would take what you were talking about earlier with me, the hardest, most difficult seasons of my life, and give me the ability to realize it's a season of transformation. It's a catalyst of change. It's a catalyst of intimacy in my marriage. It's a catalyst of growth in my person, that she would come alongside me, not be on my side, because I can be wrong, but she would be by my side. She'd walk with me and she would be for my growth. And I sadly, I've never had that one. But I feel like God is saying we can be what we've never had. And so I wanted to write a book in my 60s to mark a pathway for the women coming up behind me, to say to a 15-year-old, you can pour into a 12-year-old, to say to a 25-year-old, you can pour to that 15-year-old, to say to a 60-year-old, you can pour into a 40-year-old, and to say to an 80-year-old, you can do whatever the heck you want. But I want the women to understand being disconnected is not healthy and it's not an option. So we have a lie going on. We have the older women thinking that they have nothing to offer.
Yes.
They think because they don't have an Instagram account, that they're not cool, that they can't download apps, that they think they have nothing to offer. And then we have the younger women thinking that the older women can't be bothered. So we have these two kind of things, and there's this disconnect and a standoff, and I wanted to connect them. I wanted to tell the older women, as long as you're drawing breath, you have something that you can offer. You don't have to know everything to give something.
No, Lisa, there's such a need. I feel like even the timing of this coming out at the church I'm at, so I'm 38 years old, a lot of the
congregation. I could have birthed you.
Well, a lot of the church is the same age, and we've just recently started to have 50, 60 year olds showing up at the church. I can remember for the longest time, we had a couple thousand people even at the time, and we still didn't have a youth group because nobody was old enough to have a middle schooler, you know? Wow. And so it was just really young. But even one of my wife's closest friends, she just messaged me the other day, I'm really looking for a mentor. Like, I'm looking for an older, wiser woman. And then is there a younger woman that you think I could pour into? And I can remember just telling her, I'm like, Heidi, this is so wise.
Yeah.
And then I reached out to a gal in her 60s in the church here, just an incredibly wonderful, godly woman. And I knew this is how she would feel. I just reached out to, hey, I got one of my wife's closest friends is looking for a mentor. Would you be interested? And it was like the greatest honor that someone saw that inside of her. And I can even remember when we, there was a campus that was a separate church that closed its doors and became a part of Embrace. And it was an older congregation. And they asked me the question, will you still need us?
And that just makes me want to cry.
I felt the same way. And they're a state away. So they're in Minnesota. I said, it's the total opposite. I wish I could convince half of you to move to South Dakota to pour into a bunch of people who need your wisdom. Just have been around the block a time or two. Even for Becca and I, we just finished a 3-week large group. It's kind of a combination of kind of a marriage night, but also groups. And we co-led with really our John and Lisa Bevere in our church. Their names are Rick and Val Milmer. I mean, she actually just stopped by earlier today. After our first interview, I called her and I said, I just met your sister. But even just being around the both of them talking about their marriage in front of everybody else, but also in front of Beck and I, just there's wisdom that you can't gain. I want to jump into a couple of specific things.
Yeah,
one thing I'll tell anybody who's listening, and I usually don't plug books this hard. I genuinely want you to go and get a copy of the book. What I felt like I was sitting down with a spiritual godparent the entire time. And I felt the same way about John's book. I read through John's book, X, go get that as well. I felt like it was those cups of coffee that you never miss and you show up 5 minutes early because you know they have so much to offer you. That's what I felt like. I'm like, I never am on time for meetings. I'm going to show up 15 minutes early for this one. That's what you'll get when you read through. I'm jumping in. There was one specific part. I'm just going to read it really quick. You were talking about distraction and comparison. And it says, as soon as you begin to know what you're about, the enemy will do his best to turn you about. Unfocused daughters or people are mm-hmm. never a real threat. But once you know what you are aiming for, you'll be taken seriously. And then it shifts into comparison, the next paragraph. Comparison breeds confusion and robs people of their purpose because they're so busy looking at who they are not that they forget who they are. That the whole chapter is focus is your superpower.
Your superpower, yep.
Yes, so distraction and comparison.
Yeah.
I'm just going to turn you loose on how that's impacted you and what do you do to battle.
Yeah, I'm easily distracted. I would love to say, you know, man, I just have no problem with this. I mean, literally, I literally have to like move everything out of my line of sight. I have to focus. I have to bribe myself. Like, you're not allowed to take a shower. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to like do anything. You're not allowed to have joy in your life until you get 1,000 words written. I mean, John is so disciplined. He's so good and he's so focused. I'm kind of like all over the place. So this is what I have to do. So when I want to focus, I have to edit. You've written a book. I send my book out in one condition. It comes back making sense. My editor knows what to highlight, what to eliminate, what to condense, what to expand. And the Holy Spirit is that for us. But I also feel like right now, people need to understand they're feeling overwhelmed with distraction, overwhelmed with comparison. Even in this COVID day, there's still that competition and compare. I thought a pandemic would clear that field, but it has not. So they're overwhelmed. They're watching what everybody else is doing. And you know, you've never heard me say this, but I love millennials and Gen Zs. Again, I have four sons that are millennials, but I have such a mother's heart for them because I believe the reason why, like they have this weird knowing that they're called to do something.
Yes.
But they don't know what the something is. So they're busy looking at everybody else's thing rather than leaning into the Holy Spirit. And so what I try to tell them is you will never know what you're called to do until you know who you are. And so I can never find out who I really am until I'm in the presence of God. See, I can find out who I'm not in the presence of people. But when I'm in the presence of God, I find out who I'm becoming, not who I've been. And so when you don't spend enough time in the presence of God, which for me means worship and reading the word, like I kind of need both of those. The worship makes my heart soft. And then when I get in the presence of God, he can tell me who I am becoming. And then who I am becoming, and again, that's going to be more like Jesus, becomes my focus. So then I have to actually intentionally say, I'm going to eliminate the distractions. Millennials and Gen Zs, I believe one of the reasons they don't know what they're called to do is because they're called to do something that has never been done before.
Yeah.
And you don't discover the never done before looking at what people are doing. So it's that uncomfortableness. So the enemy is trying to distract people with comparison, with confusion, with constantly inundating them, overwhelming them with information. Then they disconnect and they watch Netflix for, you know, 5 hours and they lose their edge. They lose their purpose. And, you know, I really believe that you have to just say, all right, this ability to not be able to connect with everything is not a failure on my part. It's a fail safe. God is saying, you're feeling overwhelmed. Make your life smaller. And I use the Man of Steel where all of the superpowers of Superman were coming into play and he could hear things nobody else could hear and he could see things. Well, we don't need superpowers to feel overwhelmed right now. We're feeling overwhelmed. And there's nothing that was stable last year is stable this year. And so Superman runs into his closet and hides, which I think a lot of us need to shrink our space. And he waited till his mom showed up and he said, Mom, the world's too big. And she said, then make it smaller. And smaller does not mean less. Smaller means focused. There is something on each and every one of us that is worthy of attention. And we cannot neglect the things that are worthy of attention. Again, I'm not saying I'm a big sage, I'm not a Yoda, but I do have things I've learned the hard way that I don't want anybody else to have to learn that way.
Lisa, I want to ask one last question. I could go on forever. Like this is just to, again, anybody listening, this is the type of stuff that I felt like was just throughout the book. And this is why she's saying, like, to have this in your life where you have a godparent and also you're being this, this is the type of stuff. So this was, I think it was a letter that you wrote to yourself.
I did. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read this one line again. I'm just going to buy the underlined version.
I want you to start screenshotting. I want those texted to me.
My wife is like, you ruined the book. Like nobody else can.
Okay, you just give us your address. I'll send her a hardback official woman book.
So this is what you wrote. And this is just wisdom. You said baby girl. So person, don't force yourself in where you are not wanted. And at the same time, don't hide from what you are meant to be a part of. And I just feel like both sides of that. Don't force yourself where you're not wanted. At the same time, don't hide where you're meant to be. I feel like I've done both of those things.
Same.
I felt this recently. Hey, Adam, if you are able to weasel your way into that door, make sure you do a good job of entertaining the entire time, because it's going to be restless and you're going to have no peace or joy, because you better keep entertaining. Because you opened the door for yourself. You broke down the door. But Adam, you opened the door that I have for you. No shows. Total peace. Complete joy. And really from that moment, I'm like, God, I'm not going to break down any more doors. Because every time I do, even if I get into the room, I feel gross. The whole time I just feel disgusting. But every time you open it, no matter who's in the room, I don't feel an ounce of needing to keep it. I'm needing to impress, because you, for some bizarre reason, asked me into this room. And so there's that part of it. And then the other part of hiding, of just like, I can't, I'm not, you know, I shouldn't. It's like the door's being opened. I'm talking too much. What have you seen that for you? Like it's
Well, you know, here's the thing. John is the visionary in our family, and he just, like, he's okay with uncomfortable. He's okay with being left out. He's like, you know, and I'm like, why are I fit in? Why am I weird? I remember going, I was working at a, I had a really good job. I was 25 and I had a number of stores that I was over. I was was account coordinator for a department store. And I stopped by my spiritual father in Fort Worth. And I said, I just don't fit in. I don't think I'm ever going to fit in. I said, they're all like, praise the Lord. And then they gossip. And like, I want to smack them. I want to smack them when they say praise the Lord. I want to cuss at them. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm like, I just don't know if I'll make this Christian world. And this is before I ever minister. I don't think I'm gonna make it. I'm not sure what's going on. And he just said to me, Lisa, you're not supposed to be like him. You're not supposed to be like him. And if you compromise who you actually really are to fit in, you're gonna lose the anointing on your life. Oof. So that was there. And then the other side of it was, God said, I don't want you to belong before you begin. He told John and I, he said, I've called you to pioneer. And he said, a pioneering spirit means that you begin rather than belong. And I had to, I had to watch this. Okay. Again, knowing my weaknesses, I got a strong drive towards relationship. I got a strong drive. So I would pioneer, get invited. Then I'd start being like the people that I was with. And God said to me, well, then you're no longer necessary. And so I would go into a cave, literally. I would call it my cave. I would go into a cave. I would hear the voice of God in a whisper. I would hear him in the whisper. Then I'd begin to write. I remember I wrote Girls with Swords in that whisper. I just put my head down. I wrote that book. I wrote myself out of a cave. And then God was like, well, now you have something to say again. Now I can bring you. So I can't hide from, you know, when I wrote, this is hilarious. When I was writing, I wrote Linus Rising, then I wrote Girls with Swords. And when I was writing Girls with Swords, somebody said to me, lions and swords, you're always just violence, violence, violence.
Oh my gosh.
And I felt shame. I felt shame. I did. I felt shame. I thought, yeah, why am I always violence? I don't want to always be violence, but I feel like that's what God's telling me to do. And I went ahead and went forward with it. And then 2 years later, and actually it's still her profile, just a girl with a sword. And so I thought, you know what? I needed a pioneer so she could see who she was.
Yeah.
And if I had pulled back and not been who I was, maybe she wouldn't have gotten that revelation that she also was a girl with a sword. And so we have to take the ground that God gives us. And, you know, sometimes I just want people to come with me. And sometimes he's like, this path is just you and me, Lisa.
Lisa, thank you for every part of that. Like I look at my life and I'm such a high people pleaser. Naturally, I'm very much wired similar to you. And just the, as far as
I have a lot
just,
of seven in that Enneagram. Well,
just that relationship end of things.
Yeah.
And I look back at some of the hardship and trials that I've walked through. And it's, thank God, it's pulled some of that out of me of like, Adam, stay the course. Like, this is who you are. Not everybody's going to like you. That's all right. Keep on running. And just get a gift to so many. Lisa, thank you so much for the time. Everybody go. We'll put this in the show notes. We'll put Lisa's new book, a link in there. Go check it out. Lisa, I thank God for you. Yes, as an author, but 10 times more as a human, as a sister in Christ, and as a godparent to this Yahoo.
I get to be your godmother because I could have birthed you. No, it's not about age, but no, we love you, Adam. Our family's adopted you. You're in Addison's heart. You're in John's heart. You're in my heart. I can't wait till Wendy meet your wife. And I just want to celebrate the beautiful things that you're doing and the man that you are. You know, I know that it would have been easier for you to harden your heart, but you've done a really good job of keeping your heart tender. And I want you to know how much I value that, because it's such a Jesus trait.
Lisa, that's everything. Well, I'm grateful for each word and thankful for your family. Thanks again just for being on today.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.